Or praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. For you, is he has given you a pastor after his own heart. And brother and sister Schumacher, thank you so very much for allowing us to be here this morning with you. We greet you this morning from La Crosse, from the west side of the state. Amen. And God is good. And I love what I feel here this morning, don't you? Amen. There's nothing like worshiping God. There's nothing like coming into the presence of God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, being thankful unto him and blessing his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. We are serving an awesome God. I've come to tell you this morning that, as Paul says, that I have not seen, and ear have not heard, and neither have it entered into the hearts of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed it to us through his Spirit. Amen. So I would like to ask you a question. Are you receiving all the benefits that God has for you? We have to get to that point that we go after everything that God has for us. Amen. Praise God. What a wonderful God. And also, I would like to thank our ladies ministry for their hard work this morning and what they're doing for the district as well. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the second chapter of Luke, verse 41 through verse 49. Luke 41 through verse 49. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, and the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him was astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I might be about my father's business?" And I want to minister to you this morning from this thought. Let's go back to the start. Let's go back to the start. Pray with me one more time. Father, we thank you again this morning for your goodness. We thank you, dear God, for your grace and mercy and blessings that we feel in this place. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay with us this morning, God. Let us not leave the way that we came, God, but let us leave changed and renewed and refreshed in the Holy Ghost, God. And we will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And you must and may be seated this morning. Amen. What an awesome passage of scripture. As we began to look at the passage of scripture that we just read, Mary, after realizing that Jesus is not there, seems to be in a very hysterical state about the possibility of losing Jesus. She seems to be in a pathetic outrage at the thoughts that her son, that in the gift that was given to her by Almighty God, is no longer there with her. And so she begins to retract her steps. And for some reason, maybe like most of us, if we was to realize that Jesus is not there, we begin to look for him. And the Bible says she went from her acquaintance and family members, and she's asking them, have you seen Jesus? Amen. Maybe she says to her uncle that may have been in the group, have you seen Jesus? And the response is, no, I thought he was with you. And so Mary is now beginning to begin to worry, where is my son? How can I continue on without Jesus any further? You see, it's sad to say, a lot of people is trying to continue this walk and trying to continue on without Jesus being a part of their life. Jesus let you and I know that without me, you can do nothing. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. She seems to be concerned at the possibility that he's missing and I will never find him again. When I was in the Army and we used to do land navigational training, which was navigating from one point to the next point, they told us that anytime you're on course and you get off course and you become disoriented, that you go back to the last known point that you knew and you start afresh and you start anew. You see, I'm afraid that some people are beginning to get off course. Amen. They are starting to become disoriented and don't know which way they are going. You see, a lot of people are starting to lose their focus. It is hard for them to keep their mind stayed upon Jesus. A lot of people have lost their vision. They don't know what they want to be anymore. I find myself constantly asking people, tell me what you want to be when you grow up. And their comment back to me is, I don't know. A lot of people has lost their determination to continue on. They're starting to wonder if it's worth even living for Jesus anymore. Amen. You had dreams and you had aspirations and you had vision of what you wanted to become in life, but now you're starting to question, is it worth even going after? You're starting to lose your tenacity. You seem to have no staying power and you're starting to feel powerless. But I want you to know that Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. You see, some are starting to lose their resolve. It is hard for you to make decisions and render a very good decision. You're starting to question if living for God is even worth it at all. There is no enthusiasm and eagerness in your walk and a pep in your step, as we used to say. Amen. You don't have a dance anymore because you're starting to worry about the things that is surrounding you and you're not realizing that you're getting off course. You see, the Bible says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And from the rising of the sun, whether I'm in this building or whether I'm in my house, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. So when I get up in the morning, I get up with praise. When I go down in the evening, I go down with praise. You're becoming restless. You're starting to feel burned out and perplexed and disquieted in your life. There's that uneasy feeling that is starting to take place because you're suffering from anxiety. In some cases, it is becoming a ball of confusion. Paul lets us know that this gospel did not just come with word only. It came with power. It came with the Holy Ghost. and it came with much assurance. So how much assurance is much assurance? Much assurance is nowhere I look, everywhere I turn, it's right there for me. Amen. I have the exceeding precious promises of God that I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So as his child, I have to realize that God is with me all the time. So what I find is that when I get off course, all I need to do is go back to that last known point that I had a good, solid relationship with God and start afresh and start anew in my life. And the place that I find that my starting point is always the altar. The altar is always the starting point. It is here that I go back to and I get a hold of God and I start afresh. And I start anew. In Ezekiel 47, the Bible says that the angel brought him to the house of the temple of God. And as he came to the east, the water was gushing out from under the altar eastward. And then he brought me to the south, and the waters was gushing out to the south. In other words, everywhere that the altar, direction from the altar, the refreshing in the water was flowing. Because all directions flows from the altar. And Ezekiel says, he brought me to the brinks of the river, and he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the water, and the water was at my ankles. Amen. He measured 1,000, and he brought me through the water, and the water was at my knees. He measured 1,000, and he brought me through the water, and the water was at my waist. He measured 1,000, and he brought me to the brink of the river, and it was water was so high I could swim. I couldn't get across. What is he trying to let us know? That from the altar, the refreshing will continue to flow. It'll be waters that you can swim in. It'll be waters, amen, that will refresh you because it flows from the altar of God. This is key, that the altar is always the starting point. If you want to start afresh, if you want to start anew, when you're discouraged, when there's disorientation in your life, go back to the altar and kneel down until you be endued with that Holy Ghost power afresh and anew. Praise God. Jacob, after he had received his brother's birthright, went from his father Isaac, and his brother told him that he was going to kill him. He became a little disoriented. And Jacob is on his way as his mother sends him to live with our brother Laban. And the evening came, the Bible says, and as it got over into the evening time, Jacob found some stones and he laid those stones down and he made himself a pillar. And as he was asleep, he was dreaming and he saw a ladder reaching from the heavens to the earth. And the angels of God was ascending and descending upon that ladder. And God was standing at the top. And God told him that he would bring him back to that same spot. It was here that when Jacob wake up out of his sleep, he says, surely this is none other than the house of God. And he took those stones and he poured oil upon them and he anointed the pillar and he called it Bethel. It was no longer Luz, but now it was Bethel, which meant the house of God. And that is always the starting point, is the house of God. And Jacob proceeds and he says, if God will bring me back to this place, to my father's house, then I will give him a tenth of everything that he gives to me. And Jacob goes and he stays with his uncle Laban. And later, after 20 years, there's so much confusion in Jacob's life now because he's with his uncle Laban and his uncle Laban changes his wages 10 times and he gives him the wrong woman to marry. Can you imagine? And it seemed like every time Jacob feels like things is going good, his uncle changes it around and more disorientation and more disoriented he becomes, and he's confused. And that's how it is. Sometimes you start wondering with family can get you off course. Family can cause you, if you're not careful, to lose your focus, and you begin to question and wonder, how can my own flesh and blood do certain things to me? Or nevertheless, even in the church sometimes, we can begin to wonder how the family of God can do what they do. And if we're not careful, we can begin to focus on these things and get off course. And Jacob is off course, and he is starting almost to, if you read the scripture, find him that he's constantly sometimes getting a little attitude check, should I put it that way. He gets a little upset at some things that is starting to take place in his life. And you see, God Almighty has a plan for Jacob, for his life. Amen. And so after 20 plus years, God appears to Jacob and says, I want you to go back to your family. I want you to go back to the land that I brought you from. And Jacob gets Leah and Rachel and begins to tell them that God wants him to return to the land. And they are with them. And as they're coming back, Jacob has in his mind, he's thinking about how his brother Esau has promised that he would kill him as he's coming back. And Jacob is so disoriented that God gives him a heavenly host. He's got angels flying all around him. And the Bible says it doesn't even faze him. And Jacob even make comment that that's the Lord's encampment. In other words, that is the Lord's heavenly host. He is so disoriented that he don't even realize what God is doing for him on his behalf. And that's how it is with us sometimes. If we're not careful, God is moving and God is working. But because we're disoriented and we're lost focus, we can't see what God is doing on our behalf. You've got exceeding precious promises. Beloved, I am persuaded of better things of you, things that accompany salvation. Though we do speak of, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown to his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you do show the same diligence unto the fullness of the hope that is set before you. Because when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he received the promise. And so Jacob returns to the land. And the first place he says, let's go, is let's go to Bethel. Let's go to the house of God. Amen. Because there you will find your directions all over again. Amen. We have got to go to that starting point and start afresh again. When Elijah wants to transition with Elisha, the first place he took him was to Bethel, the house of God. He wanted him to understand, son, if you're going to have a ministry, you need to understand the value of the house of God. You need to understand that the directions flows from the house of God. And Elijah followed him all the way across the Jordan River. The renewing and the refreshing and the anointing was given when he went all the way. Amen. And you need to understand that as well. Naomi and her husband and her sons, because they were a famine in the land of Bethlehem, which means the city of bread, went into Moab. And while they are there, Naomi's husband dies and her two sons dies. And she is really now a pretty good basket case. she is so disoriented that when it's time for her to return home and she comes into the city of Bethlehem, the people says, is not this Naomi, which means pleasant, kind, and nice? She says, don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, which means bitter, hostile, resentful, and I'm angry. She's mentally disturbed about what has taken place. But she's got a young girl with her by the name of Ruth. And Ruth is eager to stay with her and to be a part and a help to her and to encourage her. Isn't it amazing? God always gives us someone at the right time and at the right moment to encourage us and to be with us. Amen. But what we find here, amen, is that when they come back into the city, amen, that God is already working on their behalf. Amen. He's already working on Naomi's behalf, and she can't see it because she's so out of focus of what God is trying to do. Amen. We have got to get our minds stayed upon Him so that we can see what He is doing for us in our lives. Amen. And if we ever decide that we're off course, all we got to do is go back to the starting point. When Mary and Joseph lost Jesus, now she finds herself researching Him, and she comes back to the very place that she left Him. And she finds Jesus after 3 days in the temple, and He's talking to doctors and lawyers, and He's asking questions and answering questions. And Mary said unto Him, son, why have you did this? And Jesus kind of looks at her. And she says, your father and I have sought thee sorrowing. I believe Jesus might have asked her, mom, how did you really look for me? Did you search for me with all your heart? Did you look in the scriptures? Because the word says, search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But you won't come to me that you might have life. Notice they left Him at the very place that they went to from the beginning. Sad to say, amen, many people, they come to church, they worship God. They got Him while they're here, but then they leave Him here and they go out without Him. You can't do anything without Him. When you go out, you need to take Jesus with you, amen, because there will be situations, there will be things that comes against you that you need to have Him with you at that very moment. Amen. Don't ever take for granted that God is with you. You need to know for sure that He is with you every step of the way. Don't allow anything to distract you when you leave, amen, to take Jesus with you. So I want to encourage you today. Maybe you're a little bit disoriented. Maybe you are a little bit off course. But why not go back to the starting point? Why not go back to the altar and be refreshed and be renewed and start all over again? And then when you go, you will be on course and take Jesus with you. Let's stand this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Is there anybody feeling a little off course this morning? Well, the altar is here this morning for you. Amen. I want you to know that God will restore to you that which the cankers has tried to eat up. You see, one of the things we find through the Word of God is God knows the things that we have need of. But because there is so many distractions in our world today, that it is easy to lose your focus. You know a people that has walked with you, worshiped with you, but for some reason, they quit, and then that can distract you. And you can get off focus. But Jesus is carrying us to a better place. But you got to stay on course. I want to open these altars this morning. If you felt just a little bit off course. Now, why am I saying just a little bit off course? Because in land navigation, if you are 1 degree off course, when you reach your objective, you're 100 meters off course. If you're 10 degrees off course, when you reach your objective, you can be 1,000 meters off course. It's just a little bit that can get you off course. But if you start afresh and start anew, when you leave, you be on course. If you're here this morning and you don't have salvation the Bible way, the Bible says repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as the minister, Lord our God, shall call. God wants you saved. He's not willing that any should perish. But let's start afresh this morning. Let's start anew. And purpose in my heart and in your heart that I'm going to make it all the way. I'm not turning back. I'm not giving up. I'm going all the way. In Jesus' name.